Okay, and welcome everybody. Welcome Janice. There's not that many of us, but that's okay because here's the important points. As of September 2023, we will no longer have Blackboard Collaborate. We will have Zoom. And so Janice is here to kind of step us through what that will look like. And again, IT is always there for support. Angela just asked me to fill in for today, as sometimes Angela and I do switch roles occasionally. And so here I am, and I'll pass it over to Jana.
That's great. You have Jana and Janice today. So welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us. Today we have a packed agenda. So really this is for you, right? So I'm gonna show you make sure you know how to log into Zoom, show you some settings in the web portal. We'll take a look at the desktop client, show you what that looks like, how to log into that, show you how easy it is to schedule a meeting, and we'll review some of those host controls for you as well. We do have a ton of resources available. So I'll show you where you can find them at the end, and this presentation as well as this recording will also be available to you. So let's go ahead. It's a small group. Let's make it as interactive as you'd like. And my goal is just to make you feel really comfortable with Zoom and so that you can use this tool. All right. So let's start by logging in, right? So when you think about Zoom and Blackboard, you've got a couple different places with Zoom where you can access Zoom. So the cool thing about Zoom is you can access Zoom on the desktop client, which is an app that sits on your desktop. You can access Zoom from your mobile device using the Zoom app. And then you can also access the web portal, Zoom via the web portal. We call it the web portal because you actually go out to the web to get to access the portal. And we also have Blackboard Learn. So today you folks are also able to log into Blackboard Learn to access Zoom. But as Jana mentioned, that will be going away. So Jana will be here to help us show you how you can move things over from Blackboard to Zoom. So let's start. Did I just skip a couple slides here? Nope, I'm good. All right, so let's start by the web portal.
Just to clarify,
yeah,
you will not be losing Blackboard. You'll be losing Collaborate.
Got it. Thank you. So okay. If you want to start, Jana, you can show them where they can, as far as logging into to Blackboard. It looks like today they just go to blackboard.northerncollege.ca and they log in with their username and password. And this is where they go today to schedule their Zoom meetings, correct? I don't believe any of that's going to change.
No, none of that is going to change.
Excellent. Good. So to access Zoom outside of Blackboard, Northern College has put together this, what we call a vanity URL. So you can just go to northerncollege.zoom.us. Once you log in using that vanity URL, you can do a bunch of things from here. You can join or host meetings. This is where you can also sign into the web portal. The web portal, which I'm going to show you, is a great place to go where you can access all your settings. Also at the bottom of this page, you're going to see links for quick access to Zoom support and things like our Getting Started guide. All right, so after you click on that link, you are going to land on what we call your profile page. This is where you can go in and add your photo, right? The nice thing about the photo is when you're not sharing your video, I'll go ahead and stop sharing my video. This is the photo of you that they're going to see. So I can tell none of you have your photo uploaded, because what you see if you don't have your photo uploaded is just your name, which is fine as well. But if you want to personalize it, this is where you're going to go on your profile page to add your photo. You're also going to see things like you'll see your personal meeting ID. You'll also see what meeting or webinar capacities you've been granted access to. So if you have meeting 300, you'll see that you've been given access to meeting 300, where you can host up meetings up to 300 participants. Here's a personal meeting ID that I was just talking about. So you'll see that. Your personal meeting ID is something that's assigned to you automatically, and we call it your permanent virtual room. So this will always be your permanent room. The thing about personal meeting ID rooms is that anybody can have this link and access your meeting at any time. So we always recommend when you create your meetings for folks to join that you create a unique meeting ID. But just know this is great that you'll always have this personal link that's assigned to you. Calendar integration. Some of the benefits are of the calendar integration is when we talk about the web, when we talk about the desktop client, it'll show you what upcoming meetings you have, and you can just click on those meetings to join your meetings. I'm going to show you what that looks like when we get into the desktop client, but just wanted to let you know that this integration here, when we talk about calendars, meetings, is integration into your desktop client. Okay, so we were just on your profile up on the left-hand corner, up on the top. That's where we landed when you logged in. If you scroll down, this is where you're going to find links to your meetings, webinars, if you've been granted access to webinars. This is also where you're going to find your settings. So I just wanted to review a couple of your settings. Just know that your admin has done an amazing job setting you all up for success. Just want to confirm there's nothing that you really need to do when you go in to your settings, but I really do want you to spend a few minutes and just get familiar with what settings have been that you've been given access to. So as an example, you're going to find that waiting room and passcodes have been already turned on and enabled. If you see this blue toggle next to your settings, that means you have the ability to go in and toggle them on or off. If you see a little lock key next to them, just know that your admin on your account has locked those settings so that you don't have the ability to turn them on and off. And one of those settings that you may find are the waiting room and passcodes, and they've been turned on for security reasons. The waiting room, not only do you get to manage who accesses your meeting, but you can manage when they access your meeting. So by putting everybody into a waiting room, they don't join your meeting until you allow them in and give them access into your meeting. So it's a great security. Passcodes. Passcodes have been already enabled into your join links. So they're not going to cause any extra steps for your participants when you invite them. So that passcode is already enabled in them. Unlike that personal meeting link that we talked about earlier that doesn't have a passcode enabled into it. So obviously this is a much more secure way to get into your meetings. Also under recordings, under settings, you're going to find your recording settings. So under settings, we were just on that meeting tab. And again, you're going to find a ton of settings in there. I recommend going in and reviewing them. But you're also the tab to the right of meeting, you'll find your recordings. And this is where you're going to find settings for both your local and your cloud recordings. So when we talk about local recordings, these are not recorded in the cloud. So just keep in mind, if you lose one of your local recordings, it's not something that the admin can go out and grab because it hasn't been saved in the cloud. Your cloud recordings, that's all of your meetings will go up into the Zoom cloud and you'll have access to your cloud recordings. So just again, review those settings under both local and cloud recordings, just to kind of get familiar with those settings. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all those settings for you, but I just want to let you know where to find your recording settings. Just wanted to mention some of those cloud recordings. So above your settings tab on the left-hand side, that's where you can actually go and access your recordings. So when you navigate to recordings, you're going to select the recording you wish to trim. So I mentioned when you go into your recordings, you can search for your recordings. If there's a recording that you're looking for, you can search by topic, you can search by meeting ID, right? Once those recordings pop up, either your cloud recording or your local recording, from there, you can go in and share the recording. I also wanted to mention, we had a couple of questions come up last time about the ability to trim these recordings and edit the recordings. Zoom, there are other third-party software companies out there where you can go in and actually edit your recordings. But what Zoom gives you the ability to do is trim your recordings either in the beginning or the end. So you can't do a lot of editing of your recordings in Zoom, but just know that if you just drag, you'll see those little, I think they call them playhead arrows. You can drag those arrows in the beginning and the end if you need to trim them. So they can help trim the start and the finish times. And again, this is under recordings. Once you access your recordings, you find the recording that you're looking for, you can share it and also edit those recordings if you need to. All right, so before I jump into scheduling a meeting in the web portal while we're still in the web portal, I just wanted to check to see if anybody had any questions either on your settings or where to find your recordings.
I'm going to jump in here for one second.
Sure.
Give the thumbs up, Karen. We like interaction. Regarding your recordings, IT, and because I'm not part of IT, only a little bit, I know that we will have at one point saying your recordings are only in Zoom for this amount of time. And if you still need them, you need to download them. They'll be very clear of how long that happens. We're thinking for an entire year. And then we'll have a spot to download them for you. So all of those things, just be aware that those recordings at some point will disappear, but you'll have plenty of headway and time to know that.
That's a great point. Yes, thank you. So can you imagine if we let all of our customers keep all the recordings forever? So yeah, there will be a time limit.
I think the other point is if this is a recording that you're going to use again and again and again and never re-record, then we have a spot on a server where we can put it and link it back into wherever you need it linked into.
Awesome. Great. Okay, so while we're still in the web portal, as I mentioned, when we first clicked on that link to get to the web portal, we landed on our profile page. Directly below the profile page and above the settings and the recordings that we just reviewed, you're going to find the meetings tab. So if you click on that meetings tab, this is where you can see all your upcoming as well as previous meetings. This is also where you can go to schedule a meeting. It is really that easy. Over to the right, you're going to see where it says schedule a meeting. You just click on that schedule a meeting. This is where you're going to go and enter the information above about your meeting. I did want to make draw attention to the scheduled for. Scheduled for is for scheduled permissions. Meaning if somebody else has given you permissions to schedule meetings on your behalf, that top line will show up. Scheduling privileges, again, needs to be assigned by somebody in your company. So I couldn't give, Jana couldn't give me schedule privileges to schedule meetings on her behalf because I work for Zoom. So it has to be somebody at the college. So if you have been given that ability for scheduling privileges, you'll be a little drop down. It'll say, hey, are you scheduling this meeting for yourself or on behalf of somebody else? If you haven't been given schedule privilege, you'll go right to the topic of the meeting. You'll give it a date and a time or duration, right? Check the time zone. You also have the ability to make this a reoccurring meeting. So Zoom allows you to schedule meetings with multiple occurrences. So what that means is that each occurrence uses the same meeting ID and settings. You can schedule these meetings daily, weekly, or monthly increments. And you can also set reoccurring meetings to be used anytime. Any questions on schedule privilege? Excellent. Aside from reoccurring, you can also require registration. So when you schedule a meeting that requires registration, you're basically asking participants to register not only with their email and name, which is those are at least the two that they have to register with, but you can also ask for additional questions about your registrants, which just allows you to capture more information about your attendees. So now once this is scheduled, you can manage your registrants. You could resend confirmation emails, and you can also generate meeting registration reports as well. So if you want to download a list of people that are registered before your meeting has actually started, you could go ahead and do that. If you don't need to collect this much information, you can schedule a meeting without registration required, but just wanted to let you know that that option is available. Some other options, if you scroll down, I want to call out alternative host. You'll also see pre-assigning and language interpretation, right? So if you would like to include interpreters in your meetings or webinars, you now have the ability to enable language interpretation. So what this does is this allows the host to designate up to 20 participants as interpreters on the web portal or during a live Zoom session as well. So when the meeting or webinar starts, the host can start the interpretation feature, and it's really cool. So you can, users will provide their own audio channels for the language that they're translating to. An alternative host, I want to mention that they must also be another licensed user on your account, and they can start the meetings on your behalf, right? So they also have the ability, an alternative host has access to your reports and recordings as well. Pre-assigned breakout rooms, also just wanted to mention, can only be done via the web. So if you want to pre-assign folks into your breakout rooms, and we talk more about like breakout rooms in more of an advanced training, but if you are familiar with breakout rooms, I just wanted to let you know that here within the web portal is where you would need to go if you want to pre-assign breakout rooms. Cool thing about breakout rooms, you can assign them on the fly during a meeting, but if you wanted to pre-assign them, just know that you have to come to the web portal settings. Once the meeting's created, you can go back in here and manage your meetings at any time. This is where you can go in and set your desired calendar, and you can also manage and set up polls that you'd like during the meeting as well. So this is in the web portal. This is where you can come in and create your polls. Again, polls can be set on the fly during a meeting, but if you want to create your polls ahead of time, you would do it from within the web portal. So all kinds of great things you can do within the web portal and once your meetings are set up. So once you've scheduled that meeting, you can save it, and then you can go back and you can edit and manage that meeting, add polls and so on, so forth. Okay, what else do we have? Zoom add-in for Outlook. I don't believe it's here yet. I do know it's coming soon, but just know at some point you will have that add-in. So when you're in Outlook, you'll be able to click on that Outlook add-in to create your meetings. Oh, and this is what it will look like. Little snapshot here. So once it is available and you're in Outlook, you should see a little Zoom icon up here, and it'll step you through how to add a meeting. You can also access your settings through here as well, which is really cool. And then you'll just step through what we did when we were scheduling the meeting in the web portal. All right, so I'm gonna jump over to the desktop app. If anybody else has any questions about things that you can do in the web portal, whether it's schedule a meeting, checking your settings, I'll go ahead and move over to the desktop client. So the desktop client is, we also call the desktop app. It's been downloaded on your PC. So it should have already been downloaded onto your PC. You're gonna see the little Zoom icon. You're gonna click on that Zoom icon. You just wanna be signed in the morning. I come in, I sign on to the app, and it's just always on throughout the day for me. But just know that you can go ahead and sign in using your single sign-on credentials. Once you sign on, this is what it's going to look like. This is the home screen. I mentioned that mine is just kind of on throughout the day because this is where I can go in and I can start new meetings, join meetings right from here. I can schedule meetings from the Zoom desktop client. I also have some additional things that I can do across the top, but this is where I spend most of my day is in the client. This is the home screen I mentioned. If you recall, when we were in the web portal, I mentioned having the ability to sync your calendar. This is where you would see your upcoming events throughout the day. So if you do sync your calendar, this is where you'll see it in the desktop client. I mentioned from here, by clicking on that big blue scheduled button, this is where you can go and also schedule a meeting right from here in your desktop client. You'll see that pop-up window with a lot of the same things on scheduling a meeting in your web portal. So you can choose any of your settings right from here on your meetings. Not only can you schedule meetings, you can join a meeting right from here, I mentioned. One thing I wanted to talk about from your desktop app or desktop client is that you can also access your settings from here. And I want to just talk about some of those settings. So to access the settings from the home tab, I just clicked on my little picture up in the right-hand corner. If you don't have your picture uploaded, you'll probably just see your name. You'll see a drop down, and this is where you can go and you can there's a couple things that I can access my profile right from here. It'll take me back to that web page, that profile page. I can check from updates from here. This is where I can also access my settings. Again, tons of settings here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through all the settings, but wanted to just kind of point up a couple here. So when you land, you'll see this, it'll start with general and you'll have settings for video and audio, for recordings and backgrounds and filters. So just kind of get familiar with how you can access all of your settings. And then if you want from the general tab, if you want to see more settings than just what's here, when you click on the more settings at the bottom, it's actually going to take you back to the web portal where we were earlier to see that whole list of settings. So again, you'll find a lot of your settings here, but if you want to go back to the web portal, just a quick little easy access, click view more settings and you go back to your web portal for even more settings from here. Under general, you're going to see video. Couple settings here I just wanted to mention. One of my favorites is called Touch Up My Appearances. And it's great. It just kind of removes any imperfections, I guess, on your face. I have mine cranked all the way to the right. Not that any of you have any imperfections, but just wanted to let you know that Touch Up My Appearances is here and it's one of my favorites. Below Touch Up My Appearances, you can also adjust for low light. I have mine set on audio, so depending on the time of day, when the lighting changes, it will automatically adjust your lighting. You'll also see some additional settings below here as well. I have maximum participants displayed. You can have 25, right? So if you've got like 50 people and that little Brady Bunch gallery view, and you only want to show 25 per page, you can do that. And the next 25 would be on the next page, or you can have up to 49 on that one page. Obviously your boxes will be a little bit smaller, but just know that you can adjust that here if you'd like. Also under the video settings, you're going to find audio settings, a couple that I just wanted to mention. This is where you can go and test your speakers and your microphone. Also, another great setting here is suppress background noise. You can set it for automatic, but you'll also see low, medium, and high. This is a favorite setting of mine. I have dogs. So if you don't want to hear dogs barking, if you're in a meeting, this really works. It really does. I always apologize for my dogs because I have my setting on high and folks tell me that they really don't hear my dog, but I don't know if I believe them, but just know that you can suppress your background noise and adjust it here under audio. What else under settings? Background. I mentioned this is where you can find your background and effects. So just click on background. It's really easy to add your background just by clicking that little plus sign. If you've got some backgrounds already saved on your PC, you can just upload them into Zoom and then they'll be available. I have different holidays, all kinds of backgrounds. We also have filters and avatars now. Avatars are a lot of fun. They're animated. Let me go ahead and choose my app. I'm going to go ahead and choose an avatar for you so you can see what it looks like. Right. So these are fun. Instead of just a static avatar, you know, kind of a standstill, we now have animated and you can build them and they're really, really fun to build. So now they're animated and your mouth moves and your head moves and you can build them to look just like you. So you can find all of that under background and filters. Okay, I know we covered a lot for settings. I showed you settings under the web portal. I showed you the desktop client where you could go to find your settings there as well. Now we can jump into hosting a Zoom meeting. And I just wanted to quickly review three of the main roles while you're in a meeting. I also have some really great support articles that could go over this, but at a quick glance, you can see as a host, I control everything that's going on in my meeting. While I'm in a meeting, I can assign a co-host. Really easy to assign a co-host. There's a couple different ways you can do it. As a host, I can click on somebody's box. I'll see three little pop-ups, three little dots in their box. I can click on those dots and assign a co-host right from there. I can also go to my participants tab, select someone's name, and next to their name, I'll see options, and I can assign a co-host from there as well. So just to know, a co-host can only be assigned during a meeting. You can't assign a co-host ahead of time. I mentioned something earlier called an alternative host. You remember I said an alternative host acts as a host, so they can start a meeting on the host's behalf. The alternative host, if you recall, when we were in the web portal, can be assigned ahead of time. They can only be assigned ahead of time because they're going to act as a host until the host joins the meeting. The co-host can only be assigned during the meeting. And as you can see, they have just as many controls as the host, and they're just there to help support the meeting. Participants will also have that bar at the bottom, but they won't have as many controls as the host and the co-host. I'd like to talk about audio. So you've scheduled your meeting, right? There's a couple different options when it comes to your audio. We have computer audio, which is also known as voice over IP. If you, when you join your web portion of your meeting and you want to join by computer audio, I can tell you 98% of my meetings I do by computer audio. I have a little external speaker that is plugged into my laptop. So I've got a nice little speaker, or if you have a headset, that works great with audio. If you don't have great audio on your computer, that's when, you know, I always kind of recommend joining in via phone. You can call in and I can show you what, if you decide to call into your meetings, what that looks like. And these options are available for your attendees coming in as well. So they'll have the option to call in on the phone or call in, just use their computer audio. If you like using your computer audio, there is a box down here that says automatically join my meetings by computer audio. That way you don't have to select it every time you join your meetings. And you can change these on the fly at any time. I'll show you where to do that in the meeting controls. And if you do decide to call in, you would just click the call in. The number will pop up. It'll give you a couple dial-in numbers. You'll enter the meeting ID, and then you'll also enter the participant's ID. The participant's ID, you can still join a meeting without using your participant's ID. But we always recommend entering that, because when you enter your participant's ID, it's connecting you to the web portion of the meeting as well. So now you have more audio controls. If somebody doesn't enter their participant ID, you won't have controls over their audio. So again, participant ID, you would just enter that followed by a pound. I think that was pretty straightforward, but feel free to interrupt me if you guys have any questions whatsoever. All right, so hosting a meeting. So when you're hosting a meeting, you're gonna, we'll talk about the layout in a few minutes, how you can do gallery view, speaker view, but there's a couple things I just wanna draw your attention to while you're in a meeting. And one of them is this little green shield up in the left corner. This is going to reveal meeting information, such as the meeting name, your join link. I think I might have a screenshot of what that looks like. I do. So when you click on that little green shield, not only is it letting you know that you're in a secure meeting, but this is where you'll find additional information about your meeting. It's cool because there's also a copy link here. So if you want to need to copy that invite, if you're chatting with somebody on their side and they're like, hey, invite me to your meeting, I'd love to join. This is just a quick place where you can go and copy that link if you'd like. I mentioned some of the views. If you'd like to view what your layouts look like, up in the right-hand corner, you're going to click on that little view. You're going to see speaker, gallery, immersive. Speaker view is exactly that. It is the view of the person speaking. So if you were to go up there right now, select speaker view, you would just see me or my little avatar speaking. If you select gallery, that's when you get that little collaborative where it puts everybody in the tile. Remember I mentioned in your desktop settings, you can choose whether you see 25 or 49 people in the gallery view, but this is what the gallery view looks like. Also want to mention that you can click and drag to rearrange your gallery view if you wanted to. So let's say you had 49 people, but you're only showing 25 per page. You could take, and you wanted to keep an eye on maybe one of your students, right? You could take their pane, their little participant's pane, and drag it around and put it in the front. So just know that you can rearrange those boxes if you'd like when you're in gallery view. Immersive view is just a really fun way to arrange a specific number of participants into just kind of this great little unified scene. So there's all kind of scenes that you can choose from. You can have up to one or 25. You choose how many people are in your meeting, and then you can upload, you can also upload a custom scene as well if you have one. But it's just a great way to put somebody into this great little scene. We call it immersive scenes. And it'll step you through it. Once you select immersive as a host, it'll say how many people in your meeting. And then it'll let you pick what view you'd like. And then you just hit select and it pops them right in this view. So it's pretty easy to use. Okay, hosting a Zoom meeting. So while we're in this meeting, we talked about the little green shield up on the left. We talked about the little view up on the right. Now I just want to review some of your audio and video settings. Lower left-hand corner, you're going to see the mute and you're going to see the stop video. Next to both of those, you're going to see these little up arrows. And when you click on those little up arrows, it's going to give you some additional settings. So on the view that I'm showing you here right now, I clicked on the little up arrow next to mute. And this is where I can select my microphone and my speaker that I'm using. I can also test my speaker and microphone right from here. If I called in and I want to switch to voice over IP computer audio, I could do that right from here. So this is where I mentioned that you can switch from calling in or your computer audio on the fly as well. And then there's also the audio settings. When you click on that, that's going to bring up all those audio settings that we reviewed while we were in your desktop client. Same goes for the video settings. When you click on that little up arrow next to your stop video, you can select your camera. You can go in here and choose your virtual background on the fly. So while I was in the meeting, you'll also see something that says choose avatar. While I was in the meeting talking to you guys, I just clicked on that little up arrow and I chose my avatar, and I was able to go really quickly from I can choose a different background or my avatar right while in a meeting as well. So again, you can change your camera, background, filters, and also access your video settings right from here while you're in a meeting. So we do put those settings everywhere. Security. I just wanted to take a minute, talk about security as a host. You're going to see that little security shield. And this really just allows you to remove any of your attendants at any time. You can also grant other permissions. I can suspend my participants' activity. I can lock my meeting so that nobody else can join my meeting, right? I can, if I didn't have waiting room on, I can go ahead and enable waiting rooms right from here. And this is where I can also, I mentioned grant permissions of my attendees. So I can, this is where I can allow them to share their screen or chat or rename themselves. Or so I have full control at all times, folks coming into my meeting, what I can allow them to do. And that's all done under your security shield, just by checking or unchecking those boxes. Not only can I give control, you know, I can, you know, dictate what my participants and attendees can do, I can also go in and assign individual controls. So this just lets me manage participants directly. And I do that just by clicking on those three dots over their title. You can, by clicking on those three dots, this is where I can go in. I can stop their video. I can chat with them. I mentioned I can make somebody a co-host. A co-host can only be assigned during a meeting. And this is where I would go to do it, just by clicking on those little three dots. You'll also see that little blue mute button. So if someone's making noise, you know, they're being distracted, you can just go ahead, go onto their tile, click the little mute button and mute them automatically. I can also remove anybody from my meeting on the fly or put them in a waiting room. So all kinds of controls you can do, for individual controls, just by clicking on the participants box directly. Waiting room. We mentioned waiting room. So with waiting room turned on, this is another security safety feature for managing your participants. When this is enabled, you're going to be able to see who's in the waiting room. Who's waiting to join your meeting in the waiting room. A notification will appear, and that will allow you to admit them from your waiting room. Or if you want to view and see who's in your waiting room, you can do that as well. I can also see who's in my waiting room by clicking on the participants tab at the bottom in my control panel. So when I click on my participants tab, I can see that I have four people in my meeting already. And I can see that I've got three people in the waiting room. I can go in and admit them one by one, or I could remove them if I didn't want them to join my meeting. Or at the top, I could just admit everybody. So instead of admitting everybody one by one, I could just admit them all into my from the waiting room into my meeting. So it gives you full control over who's coming into your meeting. Aside from individual controls next to, I also at the bottom, you're going to see a more button, and any of those settings in the more button is a global setting, a global control, I should say. So by selecting, mute everybody or allow participants to unmute themselves, this is going to give me global controls over everybody. So just know that I have individual controls next to everyone's name. But I also have global controls by hitting that a little more button. You'll also see that I can mute everybody at once as well. So just take a look at those controls and get familiar with them. You'll also find additional controls, as I just mentioned, next to everybody's name. So not only can I, have global controls, but I also have individual controls as well. One thing I wanted to note, if you mute somebody, you can't unmute anybody. It's kind of a safety thing, right? So, but you can ask to unmute somebody. So once you've muted somebody, or if they've muted themselves, there is a button where you can ask to unmute them. And again, that's just because if somebody's muted themselves for a reason, we don't want to give the host controls to be able to unmute them if it's not a good time, right? So you can ask to unmute somebody. Okay, I know I'm flying along here. I just wanted to do a little time check, see if anybody had any questions.
Looks like we're good, Janice.
Excellent. Great. I just wanted to touch on chat. So while you're in chat, a couple things that you can do while you're in chat. First thing I want to note, next to that chat is a little up arrow. As a host, I can also control what my participants can do. So I can say, people coming in my meeting, you can only chat with the host or co-host. I don't want you to chat at all. You can chat with everybody. So I can control who my attendees or participants can chat with. Emojis are also now live. You can use your emojis. You can send files. And again, I can chat with anybody, everybody, or just somebody directly. And then I can also save the chat. If this has been turned on, this chat will be saved after the meetings. Sharing your screen. So when it comes to sharing your screen, there's a big green button down there below that says share screen. Once you start sharing your screen, the first tab you're going to land on is basic. And the basic tab is going, it's basically asking you, hey, what would you like to share? So before you start sharing, we want to know what would you like to share? Would you like to share your desktop? Right? Would you like to share your whole desktop, or would you just like to share an application? So an application is more private, but you can only use and share one application at a time, right? So, and an application would be something like an Excel or PowerPoint, right? So I can choose what applications I want to share just by selecting desktop or application. If I'm going to be sharing sound, one thing I want to note that at the bottom, there's a little box here to share sound. And we always recommend selecting the share sound box. It just kind of helps optimize your video. Aside, and there's other things that you can share as well. You can share whiteboard, you can share your phone, your tablet. Also, there's one called advanced. So there's a tab. We were just on the basic tab, right? To the right of the basic is the advanced. And there's some additional things that you can do in here as well. I mentioned this is where you can share video and audio. And then you can also share files. There's a files tab. So if you have a Dropbox or a SharePoint or Microsoft one, you can also share files directly from here as well. And before you start sharing a file, we're going to show you, we're going to highlight it in green so that you know exactly what you're sharing before you share it. So I mentioned when you are sharing your screen right below, we're going to show you what screen you're sharing. While you're sharing this control slide here, I wanted to mention you can move this. So when you're not sharing your screen, it's at the bottom, right? Your control panel is there at the bottom. The minute you start sharing your screen, you can move this around. So just know that you can move it. So if you want to move it out of the way, in my case, I'm dragging it off to another window where I can, all my controls are right there while I'm sharing my screen. Also in this bar, oops, I just resumed my share screen. I'm going to click it again. I apologize. That always happens when I play with that bar. I also wanted to show you, see how it showed me? I'm going to do this one more time. When I start sharing my screen, if I click, I don't know if I can do it while I'm in it. Nope, I can't. So anyway, I mentioned that you can move this little guy around, and then there's a little more button. You'll see more with like three little dots. Just know that that's there, and there's some additional things in this control panel that I can do. So there's, if you're looking for more than just what you see here, like your mute, stop video, chat, polls, just click on your more, and then it'll extend more. You have even more controls in your control panel. Also in that control bar, you're going to see your annotation tools. So click on your annotation. This is where you can go in and quickly annotate. You can choose your mouse, you can text, you can draw, you can stamp, you can spotlight. Spotlight's great. I always forget to use spotlight, but this is great if you just want to highlight something that you're showing. Let's see, I'll go ahead and grab my spotlight here. And then I can select whether it's an arrow, but this is great for annotation, the spotlight as well. All kinds of annotation tools for you guys to go in there and play. Slide control, this is a new feature. A lot of folks love slide control because it gives you the ability to go in and it prevents, you know, so let's say you're showing a PowerPoint presentation and there's somebody speaking to that presentation. Instead of you controlling the slides and the presenter having to say, next screen, please, next slide, please, you can grant someone slide control and they can advance the slides as they're speaking. So this is a really cool feature. I think I saw something in chat. I'm just going to chat. Thank you for this. It was very useful. Unfortunately, I have to run. No problem. And thank you for joining our meeting today. We super, super appreciate you. All right. What else do I have here? Slide control. This is what slide control looks like. It'll just show you. It'll let the person know that you've been given slide control and that you can just go ahead and start advancing their slides. This is one of my favorites. Recording, quickly to record. It's just a big red button. When you click record, this is where you have the ability to record to the cloud or to the computer. You can pause and stop your recording at any time. There's your pause and stop recording. reactions. I won't spend a lot of time. I feel like we all kind of use reactions or emojis, but this is where you go. There's a little reactions tab. You can click on those. We now have the clapping feature that's animated, which is super cool. So you can actually hear when people are clapping. You've got thumbs up. And then if you hit those little three dots, that'll bring you to a lot more little reactions as well. And then there's your raise hand as well. So raise hand, I just want to, this is what we call a persistent, which means once you raise your hand, you do need to, as the instructor or the host, lower that hand. Okay, breakout rooms. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on breakout rooms only because I typically cover this in my advanced training. And because of time, I'm just going to go through breakout rooms. But I just want to let you know that you can create breakout rooms on the fly and then share them. When it comes to ending the meeting, I've even done this. I've been guilty of this. You have the ability when it comes to end a meeting, you can end it for everybody or you can leave the meeting. So if I'm a host and I have controls, only the host and co-host can end the meeting for everybody, right? But if I'm going to leave the meeting and I'm the host, it's going to pop up and let me know that if I want to leave the meeting, I now have to assign somebody else a host so that they can end the meeting for all at the end of the meeting. So again, when you click end, you'll have the ability to end the meeting for all, which ends the meeting, or I can leave the meeting. And then when I leave the meeting, I thought maybe I had a screenshot, but when I leave the meeting, it will pop up and say, hey, you're leaving the meeting, assign somebody else a host that when the meeting ends, they can end the meeting for all. And I just wanted to check on time, Jana. I know that we're a little close on time and there were a couple things that you want to cover. How are you doing on your end?
We're good. We can cover that quickly if you want.
Sure, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay, I'm just going to share my screen then.
You got it.
Okay, and everybody, we're just gonna go over how to set up Blackboard in or Zoom in your Blackboard account. So if you'll bear with me as I switch everything over in your Blackboard account. So I'm in a Blackboard Learn account, and under faculty, under course tools, we will be able to go down to tools again, wherever we find those. And we find them. Sometimes they're not actually turned on and we have to go down to customization and do tool availability and scroll all the way down and choose Zoom. The very, very bottom of the list. Turn it on. Once it's submitted, then you can actually go down to plus sign, do a tool link, choose the tool you want, which would be Zoom. And it will put it in there for you. If you open it up, it has connected your classroom with the tool, if that makes sense. So I'm just gonna go to tool link, choose Zoom. So it's connected your classroom or your Zoom account with your college account for Zoom. If I go find it now, it's down here at Zoom 1. And I open it up, it launches my Zoom account. And here I could actually schedule my classes. So if I have my class every Wednesday at 2 o'clock, I would schedule it every Wednesday at 2 o'clock from the start to the finish. And it would show up for me and my students, and they could actually grab the recordings directly from in Blackboard. If you are using Blackboard Ultra, you'll see that there's a books and tools over on the right, on the left, and you scroll down to the very bottom again and choose Zoom. It's going to do the same thing, takes you directly there, and you set up your course for that. So That's more or less how we do it. It's simple and sweet. And it connects your students directly to the recordings for your class. And so my suggestion would be set up your Zoom account outside. But once your Zoom account is set up, go into Blackboard and set up your Blackboard, each course, schedule your classes for that course. And it's regarding that. And Angela has created a handy dandy, this is how you do it. And I think we posted on the LEAD site and IT site.
Awesome.
Thanks, Adam. I like thumbs up.
Great. So the only last thing I wanted to mention, if anybody doesn't have any questions, is some of the resources and support documents available to you. We have a wonderful, wonderful support center. It's support.zoom.us. And right from here, you can search our knowledge base. You can browse through quick start guides. There's video tutorials, support topics, tons of information available. Also wanted to mention that we have a learning center. Overclicked here. Our learning center, you can also access from our support site. So you can go to support.zoom.us, or if you want to go right to the learning center, it's learning.zoom.us. And this is where you can go in and you can see tons of courses and learning plans. We do recommend anybody can access this, but if you sign in, make sure you're signed into Zoom. You'll see that little sign in button up at the top right. By signing in, we're going to help track everything for you. So if you want to, you know, you start a course and you want to pick up where you left off, you want to save courses, this can all be done within your Zoom account when you're signed in. But again, this is, you know, site is available for anybody to use. Lots of really, really cool training videos as well. So, you know, after this session, if you're like, hey, I know Janice went over recordings really quickly. I need to, you know, you can just come here, search recording, and there'll be some courses. They'll tell you how long they are. And they've done Zoom's done a really, really great job with their courses here. So that's available to you. We also have a community. We call it Zoom Community, and it's a great place where you can go and you can browse the community to find any products, solutions that you're looking for. You can ask questions in the community. Chances are, if you have a question, somebody else might have already asked it, and Zoom monitors this. So we're in here answering questions all the time. And you can also collaborate with your peers as well. So other folks in the community you can chat with. So that's called Zoom Community. Again, you can access it from the support site, and you can also go to our community page. Here are all the links to all these great resources that I just talked about, the Help Center, the Learning Center, the community. So we'll make sure that you guys have all of these links as well as this deck available. We have some best practices here with you. Always test your audio and video ahead of time. Show up in your meeting a couple minutes before. Have the content that you're ready to share available, ready to go. Close all your pop-ups, any applications, tidy up your background, use virtual backgrounds if you don't have a tidy background, always keep your camera on, position your webcam. I always get this question about lighting. So I have my desk and behind me, behind my monitor is the lighting. So I happen to have a window where I get lots of natural light, but if you do need lighting, just make sure it's always behind your camera, behind your monitors, opposed to behind yourself. Anything behind you, it's almost like taking a photo, comes out really kind of dark and shadowed. So position your webcam, always kind of keep it eye level so it looks like you're talking to your audience, and make eye contact as often as possible. So just wanted to thank you all again for joining today. Here to help, and hopefully you found this helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Again, we're here if you need us.
Happy Zooming.
Bye, thank you.
Bye, Karen. Bye, Adam. Bye. Okay, thanks, Janice. We will be in touch soon.
Yes, thank you, bye. Adam.
Okay, bye.